Hey, all you groovy cats and kittens out there in podcast land. We'd really appreciate it if you could support the show. It means we don't have to take on advertisers. Just go to explorationsearlylearning.com, click on the Support Our Work tab, and make a selection. Welcome to another episode of the Child Care Bar and Grill Podcast. I'm Jeff Johnson, coming to you live from upstairs studio. In studio with me is, of course, Lisa Murphy. How are you doing, Lisa Murphy?
Good morning. I am doing quite well. How are you doing?
I'm delightful. It's a beautiful kind of overcast day. Probably some rain coming up. We're gonna be eating. Maybe have a cocktail later. As far as jobs go, we're kind of doing all right. Hey, listeners, I want to throw something out at you. We're working on a new project. You maybe know about it, maybe don't. Check out earlychildhoodwiki.com. We're building it's an early childhood wiki. The whole goal is to organize and curate the early childhood world. And so we're going to have definitions.
Nothing big,
just a little project. We want to make it easy for people to find definitions of terms frequently used in the profession. We've got links to podcasts. We've got links to articles that we've curated. It's kind of a digital version of the binder Lisa Murphy has talked about for years, because we know some of you don't have time to build your own binder. We're kind of doing it for you. And the thing is, we need some early learning nerds.
And nerd roundup.
This is, yeehaw! If you're an early learning nerd, come on in. No, we need this is a big project, and we need people who are interested in this kind of stuff to kind of jump on board and help with definitions. We've got teams of editors. Heck, we got Josie, our buddy Josie. Hi, Josie, how you doing? Hope you're off jury duty by now. Our buddy Josie's got her master's in library sciences, and she's kind of serving as editor in chief. This is kind of a grown up project, and if you're interested, if you're hearing this and thinking, oh, I'd like to be part of that, you're probably who we're looking for. So get a hold of me. Just email jeffajohnson@cableone.net and tell me about your early learning nerdiness, and let me know you want to help, and we'll find a job for you on the wiki, because it's a big project and we want it to be a community effort, and we just need some more of our community involved. Now we got to hop into the topic. So Lisa Murphy. I've had a couple experiences recently that I thought warranted an episode. Couple months ago, somebody gets a hold of me. She's working on a paper for a college class.
Okay.
And she wants it's play related stuff. And so I send her some thoughts. And
a
some
college
quotes.
That's talking about play?
Yes. That sounds like a good thing. And she sends me some quotes, and she's a listener to the show and a follower of me on Facebook and that kind of stuff. And so I'm happy to help out. I actually make it into the paper. I'm feeling very proud of that, because a while later I get a message from her saying, hey, something along the lines of, hey, my professor wants to make, what qualifies you to say anything? kind of that kind of thing. Like, who the hell is
who the
he?
Hell are you?
That kind of thing. And I'm like,
Jeff Johnson.
Jeff fucking Johnson. I said, well, I'm just some guy on Facebook, but I've written 10 books and I have 138,000 followers on Facebook, and I make my living speaking about play around the world. Whatever. How many books has she written? No, I didn't say that yet. I asked her, though, to push back with the professor about, what are your qualifications? Mm-hmm. And she didn't want to do it because she thought it would affect her grade. And apparently the vibe I got was, hey, this professor is somebody you can't talk to, somebody you can't push back against, and somebody you can't question. And she ended up getting a great grade on her paper, and life went on. And then a week ago, hear from somebody else who's kind of questioning something that's going on in the college class. And I'm like, well, ask your professor, blah, 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 blah. And she's like, oh, I can't I can't do that, because people are, one, concerned about their grades, and two, not feeling safe and comfortable asking questions of their professors. And I was just wondering what your thoughts were on this. Is this really the kind of environment we want future early learning professionals coming out of?
Well, it sends a big message of what a class, I mean, it's modeling. And, you know, you like to think that you would not then become that person. But if you go through a higher ed experience that's 4 years of that kind of stuff, I'd be hard-pressed to say that that's not going to somehow influence your style of working with kids.
You're, and if you're able to make it through without it influencing you, you got to know it's your classmates are picking up, your peers are picking up that model. I guess what I'm interested in is...
Is this really about bad professors, or is this about, once again, the fact that people in our profession don't like to push back or challenge?
What I wrote down for the episode title was, ask hard questions. I think we need to do that. If you're a student, you need to ask hard questions. And the reality is, if you've got a professor that bristles or gives you a bad grade or retaliates against you in some way for asking a hard question that you need to know the answer to.
I recently I got my master's a couple years ago.
Back in the day.
But when I was still kind of deciding which program I wanted to get my master's with, I enrolled in a program that was local to where I lived, and I lasted 3 weeks in the first class that I took because I asked why children with special needs somehow needed to be treated differently than what we knew about rewards and incentive research, right?
How dare you?
I did, and I said, I'm not really understanding why this particular demographic is exempt from what we know to be best practice in regard to behavior modification systems. And the room went quiet, and I wasn't asking to be a bitch. I really wasn't. I just was like, talk to me about why these kids don't get the same experience. And I don't think it was a hard question, but it was not well received at all. Uh-huh. And it was made quite clear socially that you don't do this here. So I ended up dropping out of the program because I realized that I actually wanted some kind of a dialogue experience in my higher ed. If I'm going to pay this kind of money, I get that there's always a little bit of hoop jumping, but I refused to just toe the line and sit and passively receive and not be an active part of what I was paying, you know, $40,000 for.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a hard thing to do or easy thing to do?
It was hard for me to drop out because that brought up, you know, you should finish what you start and don't be a quitter and all that kind of shit in my head. But it wasn't hard at all, really. You know, I wasn't looking to only get patted on the back. See, and that's a problem too with some programs, is that you just create this vacuum of everybody, you know, talking about what we all think we believe in, and we never challenge our own ideas, and we never realize that there might be research that undermines and negates something that we have held near and dear, you know, to our belief system. I was looking for that. I just was saying, if you're going to challenge what I'm bringing to the table, I want to see your evidence and not just drink your Kool-Aid that says that just because a child has special needs, they should have sticker charts.
Yeah.
You know, like, why are they getting treated different? You know, anyway.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's somebody listening going, well, here are the reasons why children with certain, you know. And I get that. I wanted to see the research.
Yeah. And I think, I don't know. I know there are people that are taking these classes and they're...
Oh, my God. That scares me every time that happens.
I'll try to turn it off, but I don't know how. Notifications pop up and scare Lisa. I'm not sure they show up in the recording though. So Lisa might have just shuddered, and there wasn't really a noise.
No, that I don't. Like, what happened?
We'll find out when I re-listen to this episode someday. So there are people that are living in communities where there's like one. I mean, they're adults, and they're going back to school. And there's like one college in the community, and so that's the program that I
you
mean
go to.
To go to, and so I know, and I know if you're 3 years in and you just want to graduate and you have these questions and you got this professor that you're it can be hard to
Then find another professor. I mean, if you're honestly at that point, right, this kind of comes back to, is this the hill I'm going to die on? Like if I'm just looking to have a dialogue with somebody or push back against somebody, you know, what's the intention for that? Is it because they're just not answering my question? Is it because they're disagreeing with something I'm bringing to the table? You know, so find other people. You know, that professor, whether you're in a CDA class, an AA, BA, master, doctorate, you know, just because they're in that position of being your teacher, just like Jeff and I talk with you on the road, this doesn't mean that we, you know, have the holy grail of knowledge. You know, there's room for conversation. So if you're not getting what you need from that particular person, find another person.
Find another person.
And why are we now also thinking that that has to have be the relationship with the adult? Like maybe somebody's sitting next to you in your class that you just haven't reached out to yet. Maybe these conversations could be happening peer to peer, and not, we don't need to be relying necessarily on the adult in charge.
Yeah. Yeah.
In charge.
And I think, you know, when you're looking at a program, you need to look for some place where that open dialogue and a desire to have those conversations is apparent. And I think some programs offer that and some don't. And I've mentioned it on the podcast many times before. I hear regularly from people who are like, Jeff, I'm in the third year of an early learning degree and nobody's mentioned play yet. So we got to vet the programs a little bit better before we enroll in them, I guess. But being brave enough to kind of push back and agitate a little bit with those professors, but also because if you can't do it with the professor, it's going to be really difficult to do it with a coworker or a parent or a licensure when you're out in the field in this profession.
That's a good point, Jeff. I don't recall you ever really making that point before.
Oh, well, that's a good point. It's like everything else. We need practice at this kind of stuff. And so
and that professor's not paying you, right? So, if they take it out on you and you get a bunk grade, who cares, right?
After that happens, you go to ratemyprofessor.com or whatever it's called, and you give them an honest review. I mean, don't be a jerk about it, but be honest about it that, you know, didn't feel comfortable asking questions to this person because that kind of thing is out there. But if we don't have that practice asking the hard question now and then and pushing back a little bit when we're getting our education, it makes it very difficult to develop those skills in life when you're out there in the field as a practitioner in this profession.
I think it's also important to then flip it and say, as the student in this environment, you perhaps didn't feel comfortable, you didn't have a relationship, your experience might have overall been compromised on some level. Now translate that in your role now as an early childhood person. You know, how often perhaps, because you know, maybe your professor just said, I just got to get through this curriculum. We just got to get through this. Right. And now that's the same exact model that a lot of preschool people tell us. Well, I just got to get through this. I don't have time to talk. There's no time,
for questions. Right. We don't have time to think about this stuff. It's the same exact thing.
So maybe it allows us to bring a little bit of empathy when we realize that, oh my gosh, I have unintentionally set up my preschool classroom in the same model that I was all bitchy about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we've got to be willing to, I mean, if we can't learn from it by actually asking those questions, we can help it. We can internalize it and help it. I mean, we can
make
we
sure
can,
we don't end
we
up
don't
doing
become,
that.
We don't become that.
Right.
And
the poopy face I used to work with, right? Uh-huh. I wasn't at a point in my career to push back against her at that point, but I was in a position to say, I don't want to be like this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what I took with me.
Uh-huh.
Not a, I win, you know, I didn't convert her.
Victory is mine.
You know, but I brought with me then the lesson, which was, this is not how I want to teach.
I guess there's always that window of potential learning that's open to us, and we just got to figure out what we're gonna see through the window.
That's that inherent optimist, right? So you've got a shitty bad professor one particular year. Okay, so you know, flip it over. What's the lemonade you are getting out of this particular lemon? You know, take what is the one thing you got at least one thing out of it, but maybe that's not the hill you're gonna die on.
Yeah. It's hard, and we get that, and you can only do what you're comfortable with, and if you're worried about your grade, I get that. It's hard to push back, and...
But I really like what you just said. I'm going to repeat it. If you're not willing to practice it here in an environment that in theory is set up for you to practice learning how to do that, you are not going to do it now when you have a paycheck attached to something.
And you got to remember, that professor works for you. Lisa touched on that a second ago. They work for you. They are beholden to you and the money you pay for that education, for their job. And so they should have a little bit of respect for the concerns you have and the questions you want answered. Now, the flip side of that is we've got instructors that listen to this show, and there are, I don't want to get down on the whole early learning education system, because there are some incredible programs out there and great instructors, and I'm guessing most of them would be telling you the exact same thing. Push back a little bit. Ask those hard questions. I know we've got listeners to this show who do teach, do instruct on that level, and they relish the opportunity to have those kind of difficult, challenging conversations with students. And
yeah, I would even say even us in a workshop setting, traditional conference kind of banter back and forth. You know, I appreciate that. You know, just because we're up there in front of you doesn't mean that, you know, everything that we're saying is, you know, I don't want to get into the right and wrong, but if something lands on you the wrong way, let's have a conversation about that.
I love those moments.
I do too. But they don't happen.
They don't happen enough. And
so my UnCon is awesome.
Yeah, yeah. UnCon, we've got dates and locations set through 2021. New Orleans, join us.
More on that.
More on that later.
If you don't ask now, if you don't start practicing now,
you're not going to be
comfortable doing it. Perhaps when you really need to do it.
So were you always good at that pushback thing?
I went to Catholic school. Like, if you want to go back far, so that wasn't encouraged really
at all. Not really encouraged to ask questions.
Yeah. High school, it was. It was still a Catholic all-girls high school, but that kind of, you know, taking ownership for your learning was definitely, I felt that was a message that I got. And then in college, yes. At least it wasn't shut down. Uh-huh. I mean, there's always, you know, there's always that jerk professor, you know, there's always one. I mean, that's just people. But for the most part, I don't know. My questioning wasn't necessarily always of the content, because I don't think I necessarily knew better. But I think if I did at the time, I would have pushed back. A lot of my pushback came after, when I started to see the disconnect in some areas between what I was taught versus what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
Then I started pushing back.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes it was pushing back only against my own self. You know, like, why are you doing that? Where did that come from? Uh-huh. Why are you still, you know, you've read 10 articles that are more recent than the textbook that you graduated reading. Okay, so that got you this far, but now this is telling you that. Why are you still so married to this thing
from the olden days? Yes. Yeah, yeah, that's a hard thing. In elementary school, I was, you kind of toe the line, and then got into middle school and high school, and hard to believe, but I got a little bit rebellious, and I had teachers that loved that.
Yeah.
And I loved showing up for their classes. And I had teachers who hated that, and I still loved showing up to their classes so I could get under their skin and cause kind of a little
ruckus,
a blister. That they couldn't help but scratching, and so I kind of enjoyed that there too, and then, you know, the time I spent in college before I became a proud dropout, I had that too. But I remember one science professor, he was great at teaching science, as long as he got to stay on his curriculum. Mm, mm-hmm. But if you raised,
I think a lot of people are like,
if
that.
You raised a hand in the middle of one of his lectures and asked a related question for clarification, he got befuddled, if not angry, And
see, that's not education.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I really, really liked the guy, except he wasn't a good...
He just had to stay on point.
Yeah, yeah. And that was really hard for me. And it was a struggle making it through that.
And I think to you know, bring this out to the bigger global picture, if a kid... And, you know, I didn't, of course, know you then, but I'm imagining that although you might have been seen as a little bit of a rebel, if you got beyond that, there was an element of intelligence, obviously, curiosity. You know, I'm not pushing back and asking questions just, you know, to be a jerk in your class. Well, maybe.
I don't think I was intentionally trying to be a dick.
But my point is that if you get a kid that never gets that one adult that does pause... You know, that's why we do get kids that drop out,
uh-huh.
You know, because they're finally like, this is ridiculous. You know, I'll go have conversations with people someplace else because I'm not getting what I need from this system, you know, and that's a bigger part of what we're on the road talking about is that there are always kids that need a different system, which doesn't mean they're throwing education or the concept of learning out or that they're not wanting to be a part of it. It's just that the existing model that is in that's in place, it just doesn't work for everybody. It works for some kids. But then you even get the kids that it works for. And now as adults, they're like, what did I actually learn? You know, I learned how to give you back what you filled me up with. But I didn't really learn how to think creatively or solve any problems. You know, so just because they got straight A's and, you know, didn't push back doesn't mean they got anything out of it.
Yeah. For me, Fritz Bierel. The guy's name.
Oh, the science teacher?
No, yeah, he was. He worked in the English department. He was the kind of the boss of the yearbook and the school paper, and he let me write. I spent 2 years as editor of the school paper, and he let me write articles that actually pushed back against school policy and individual teachers for their bullshit once in a while. And when the flames got turned up under me for putting those things in print, he had my back. And
that's awesome.
I guess anything that's probably good about me being willing to have a little bit of rhino skin and to push back about this kind of stuff probably comes from Fritz supporting it because he'd give me passes to get out of study hall and go work on the paper and that kind of stuff and it's something he gave me something to care about in 4 years.
Have you ever told him?
He's in the dedication of one of my books. I have. He's retired now, and he was a good guy.
What's his last name?
Bierel.
B
U R R O W. I think it was.
So there's a message. Fritz.
Be a Fritz. Maybe that'll be the episode title.
Well, I think we could all say that we've had Fritzes, right?
Yeah.
There's been that person
for us.
Yeah. How do you be then that person for now, somebody?
Imagine if you made it through your whole education with not only maybe one, maybe two if you're lucky of those people, but...
What if every year
year after year of those people? And I think...
Well, one, the system would change from the inside out, finally, because teachers like Fritz wouldn't tolerate a lot of the nonsense that currently is in our public school system. So that would be one benefit. Two, the children, of course, would probably want to get off the bus as opposed to getting on the bus at the end of the day. And, you know, from there we can say it would be awesome, which sounds so airy-fairy and fluffy and... unicorny, but it's true.
And I think the way we get there, though, is we start asking the hard questions, and we start pushing back a little bit, and we start standing up for what we believe and being open to change what we believe based on the evidence.
There you go.
Which is probably going to be another episode of something sometime. Anything to wrap up this one?
No, I've been, we've recorded, so not that you guys care, but you know, a couple times a year we get together and we like pump out a bunch of episodes. So this is like the third or fourth one that we've already done this morning. It's not even 10 o'clock yet. It's awesome. And I've ended every one of them going, I really like where this one went. So I would say that we're on a roll.
Well, hey, listeners, if you liked where this one went, tune in for another one in a couple days and support the show, share it with a friend, say nice things about us. And really, truly, if you have hard questions or bad stuff to say, say that too. We like to hear that stuff. We'll be back soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.